Thank you, Lord. The Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place. We've already tasted and seen that you're good. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us authority in the Spirit to be able to bind up the enemy, to be able to neutralize his purposes over your people. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, and by the power of the blood of the Lamb, I take authority over every evil spirit that would come against your people here that have tried to fight in their lives, tried to steal or kill or destroy. I defeat him by your blood right now. And Lord, I ask you to commission your war angels to do a work, to surround and protect them, but to bring healing in their house where there was no healing, to bring wholeness in their house where there was no wholeness, to bring joy in their house where there was no joy. Lord, to give them a strength and a hope. And Lord, those situations, Lord, that look like it just gets worse and worse and worse, I thank you to that situation, Lord, there is coming to an end because now you have stepped in. Lord, it says in your word that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And so, Lord, every yoke of bondage has come against your people gathered together. And those, Lord, that have come, Lord, I ask you right now to set them free by your power. And we worship you and we thank you, Lord, for your deliverance. It's an awesome thing to behold. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, that scripture that I just read to you was quoted by Jesus in Luke. In Luke, he says the same thing. He's ministering in the synagogue here, and he goes, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who oppress and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he stopped. He didn't continue reading. He didn't say, "in the day of vengeance of our God." Because if he had said it, it would have happened. I don't know if you've ever seen that. The scriptures always wondered why he stopped there, and that's the very reason. Because we're now moving into that, we are already here in a season where the wrath of God is going to come on the earth. The coming of Jesus Christ has been listed in the scriptures probably over almost 1,800 times. Some say 2,400 times. It's one of the things that you can't read in the New Testament and not go through four pages or five pages where you see something about the return of the Lord. And it's something that is probably in your spirit and in your heart that you've been thinking about that. And maybe even thinking about it because of the observation of the things that are going on in the world. But I want to talk about that. I'm going to be talking about the return of the Lord. And one of the things that concerns me about the body of Christ and ministers is that they have the correct information of what we need to be meditating on, because it says that Jesus said, he came up one time, he says, "How can you look at the sky and you can tell when it's going to rain, but you cannot discern the signs of the times?" And so if the Lord is returning soon, we need to know some things about that. We need to allow the process to take place in our own individual lives so that we're prepared, not just individually, but also as ministers, because many of you in here are ministers and are going to be ministers. Whether you realize it or not, you'll find yourself in places that you never imagined you would ever be before, and all of a sudden you find yourself ministering to those that are around you. Because God has strategically placed you here tonight to receive an impartation concerning the process of preparing yourself for the Lord and to have the right thing burning inside of you that creates within you what he has molded you to be and what he has purposed you to be. That's your identity. That's who you are. That you'll stand before him in all of heaven and you will be told of who you are in him. And that's something that's awesome. So let's move on from here. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 6, and this is Apostle Paul speaking, says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness." It's very important you see that. "In the future, there's laid up before me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord of righteous judge will award me on that day, not only to me, but also who have loved his appearing." Other versions say, "have longed for his appearing." It's almost like a special group of believers who've longed for his appearing. They're the ones that will earn this crown of righteousness. And there's something that God has birthed in each one of you. There's a seed that's inside of you that, whether you're aware of it or not, when you leave this house tonight, you're going to realize that the water of God, the Holy Spirit, has thrown something on you, has imparted something to you, has made you alive to this. Not just in reality, but as a fire would be started, you know, and it starts out with a little flame, but you start throwing some logs on it, and all of a sudden burns inside of us. Some of us that have come here tonight need to have a fire lit. And so I believe, because that's my prayer and my intercession, that people would be come here tonight to get some fire in their belly. Sometimes we get weighed down with so many circumstances that are around us that the fire that we have is the fire that's burning around us, but not within us. But when the fire within us begins to burn bright, it consumes the things that are around us, and they just fade away. So Paul's talking about a special group of people. And it's not something that necessarily they talk about special people, because sometimes special groups of people are special problems. But this particular thing is talking about a certain group of people where the Lord kind of looks through the earth, seeing someone who is longing, whose love, who's crying out from in there of his appearing, that wants to him to appear. And it's something I believe that the Lord is motivating in us. We have to examine our life, and we have to look at ourselves in a, not a negative way, but in a positive way, is do we qualify for the crown of righteousness? Do we qualify? Now, some may say, well, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, and yes, you are, but this is not what this scripture is talking about. This is talking about a group of people who long for him. It's a yearning. It's something that's not just in you one day. It is a day to day to night. When you wake up in the morning, this is what this is talking about. There's four what I consider biblical reasons why every believer should long for the return of Jesus. The first is personal salvation. You know, our salvation is not complete until we receive our new bodies. It's a process. And so the appearing of the Lord, to long for the appearing of the Lord, is to long to be clothed with our new bodies, our immortal bodies. I think about that a lot. Not just because I'm aging and not because things are going south, but because I long to be out of this thing and to be clothed with my new body, my immortal body. And so because we long for his appearing, we're longing for something, the completeness, the consummation of our salvation, the completeness of it. And that is achieved when we receive our new bodies. And many people don't understand that. They're clear Christians and they believe it, but they don't have any understanding that we need, our spiritual body needs to be clothed with something, and God is restoring the very thing that started in the very beginning with Adam. That's why he was called the second Adam. That's one of the reasons. that we should long for the return of the Lord. The final consummation with our union with Jesus as the bridegroom, the marriage supper of the Lamb with one another, to be unionized with one another, never to be separated again. This is another reason to long for the appearing of the Lord, to actually to be in that supper, to be in, joined in union with Him for all eternity. Do we long, do you have that burning inside of you to want to be with Him forever, to be joined with Him? You know, I remember when I was going to be married to Karen that day, you know, that day when the wedding was going to be, I just was looking so forward. It was one of the best days in my life. And I remember being in the church down in Charleston, and the doors were closed. I couldn't see her. And I remember standing up front, and when those doors opened up, boom, it ministered to me. I thought I was going to get slain in the spirit. It was so overwhelming to me because there was so much, not just that I was marrying the love of my life, but there was so much spiritual power that was taking place. I was overwhelmed. And we have to have that same burning feeling within us when we long for the Lord and we long to be joined with Him as the bride. And that becomes something that we just not just anticipate, but we want it to happen today. We can't wait. These are the things that have to be burning inside of us to receive a crown of righteousness. It cannot be something that's fleeting. It has to be something that is burning so brightly within us that it creates a different attitude of the way, not just that we observe life, but the way we look at one another. And this is something that's just to be with Him forever is just, you can't even imagine it. It's beyond our imagination. Another reason is here the establishment of the Messiah's kingdom, which is the only hope for humanity. Nothing else will end the violence and the plague and the disease and everything that's going on in this earth. So many people say, well, you know, if there's a God, why does He allow all this suffering? Well, they don't know the Bible. They don't understand that He's not the God of this world. People say, well, why is a loving God? Why would He send people to hell? He doesn't send anybody to hell. People chose to go there. And how do they choose to go there? Because they refused to accept the offering of His Son, who He died for all humanity, that they may never die. But we want to see righteousness established in this earth. We're so tired of looking at all the problems and the people that have been hurting and someone's with the people that we know. So this is another reason to long for the return of Jesus Christ, because it's the only hope for humanity. He's not coming to take any sides. He's coming to take over. And these are the things that we must long for in our hearts, that it's something that we understand by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. We understand the power of God that created the heavens, the earth, that He will come and He can make it all right. That's longing for the return of the Lord. And only the return of Jesus in our union with Christ in our new bodies will creation be restored. I'm going to read a scripture about that. In Romans chapter 8, verse 19, it says, "For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope, that creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as the sons, the redemption of our body." So when our body is redeemed in that day when He comes, all creation is now set free. You know, this world and it was not created in the state that it is. It wasn't designed to die. It wasn't designed the way that we live in it. This material realm is not what it was initially to be, but God is going to restore all of it. This is another reason to long for the return of Jesus Christ. If we're truly longing for his return, what should we do about it? What will the outworking of that look like in our daily lives? How will it show? The greatest evidence that we are longing for the Lord's return is we will cultivate personal holiness. Holiness precedes power. Jesus walked the earth for 30-some years before he ever did a work of power, harnessing that power. Longing for the return of Jesus is the greatest motivator to pursue personal holiness. I'm going to look at four scriptures here concerning that. Let's go to Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. So the grace of God is appearing, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God, Savior Christ Jesus, who gave himself up for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. This is the motivation, the very blessed hope, the appearing of Jesus creates zealousness in us, creates a fire. It says the zeal of God consumes us. And the very thought of him appearing and coming in waves of power and right waves of revival on this earth, you see it in your spirit. If you really pray, you can see that there is a move of God on the horizon, that where God is going to so much saturate his children with those who are longing for his appearing with so much power and be so much light that the world and the nations will come to the brightness of his rising because it will be seen in us. Isaiah saw it in Isaiah 60. You can read about it, that the nations would see it on us. Can you imagine going to work and all of a sudden, boom, a light comes on you and people say, what is going on with you? And all of a sudden they come to you and they want to hear about God. Don't you know that Jesus went to the cross that all humanity would come to know him? Humanity is his bounty. If you put yourself on a cross and you died for all humanity, wouldn't you want everyone to come? This is his will. That's why when you long for his coming, you get a part of that will and that love that he has for all humanity that cuts through knowledge, a love beyond knowledge. You may know knowledge of somebody, how bad they are and this and that, but love cuts through knowledge. Love pierces darkness. Light overcomes the darkness. That's what's inside of you. And so when we are illuminated by the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to look into the potential of people's lives. You will see the same love and the same care and the same words that Jesus has from his throne room for those that are inherit salvation. You are the very vessels. You are the ones. You are the sent ones in the earth that are carrying that message. And yet some of us have stopped. Some of us have lived in frustration. Some of us are looking for that perfect place, that perfect church, that perfect time where all the things can come together that we might release what God has already put inside of us. I would submit to you, do not allow any walls, do not let any church, do not any person, do not let anything keep you back from the very vision that God placed within you. You don't need his permission. He's already given it to you. He said, go out into all the world. Go out. Don't hold back. Don't allow the circumstances that are around you to bind you up, to put you in a bad mood, to give you a critical spirit. Go out and do something about it because God is empowering you to do about it. I guarantee you, when you see something wrong by the Spirit of God, you also see what God wants to do about it. And when you go to your knees and you go to prayer, all of a sudden you're empowered to do it. That's the process. 1 Thessalonians
chapter 3, verse 12. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God the Father at the coming of the Lord with all its saints. Holiness. You see, it all comes back to that yearning and that longing for his presence and the reality, you know, in your mind that he actually could come today, because that longing to be with that individual, to be with God, gets so bright inside of you, builds up with such strength that it causes a holiness. Because you know, when I looked at Kara, she was in a beautiful dress. There wasn't any spots on that dress. I can see it like it was yesterday. And that's exactly the way the Lord views you. And when you have that burning inside of you, it cleanses you. You don't want to go and you don't want to mess up, because tonight's the night. You don't go out and get drunk. You don't go out and do this. You don't go and get in a bad mood. You don't let anything, you're totally focused on the event. This is the power of Jesus Christ that is reigning inside of you right now, that is building you up so that you might not just see it in the spirit, but you might apprehend it, that you might grasp it, that you might have the power of the Holy Spirit within you to actually do this, that you might walk out of here and not be again moved by the deception of this world and the materialism that is blasting your minds, the visions and the different deceptions that come through the eye gate and the ear gate that is bombarding you. God wants to protect your minds by getting you into the place where you're thinking about him and wanting to be with him, like you want food when you're hungry. Are you hungry, saints?
Yes. Yes.
God is calling us to a new level of holiness. And you know it in your spirit. The conviction of the Holy Spirit has been on each and every vessel here. There's no question about it. And it's because you asked for it. It's because you want to be like your dad. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 11. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by the burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? The material world is all going to be poof. We live in the material realm. Those that have, I've heard testimonies of those that have died and gone to heaven, then were revived, and almost consistently every one of them says that they never felt more alive, more real, that this world is almost fake. And that's true. And Jesus even said, when he was in front of Pilate, he said, "My kingdom is not of this realm." You're born again. You're in union with Jesus Christ. And when you come and says that Jesus said, he says, you cannot see the kingdom again unless you're born again. And so when you ask him into your heart and becomes one with you, all of a sudden you're illuminated in your mind, because the mind of Christ begins to function within you. You may not understand it initially, but it opens up your eyes to be able to see the scriptures and understanding that this world is fading away. It's passing away, that there's more. And people are seeking all kinds of things to get that more. They want to have a spiritual experience. They want to find out the truth of life. They look here and they look there. But Jesus said, "I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life." And when he was in front of Pilate, one of the things that Pilate said, and Jesus said, "I came to bear witness of the truth. I came to explain the Father. I came to explain God, that He was a God of love and a God of mercy. He came to explain it, and Pilate looks and says, well, what is truth? And even he was like, what is truth? And so many people today are out there right now, they don't know what the truth is. Deception is on a level as never before. Every time you look at anything, you wonder, is that real or is it made up? And now we can manufacture it. We live in a very dark world right now. And Isaiah said that darkness was going to cover all the earth, but the glory of God is going to rise upon you. And those that you long for His yearning, that remnant that is in this earth right now is peppered like all over the earth. It's salted everywhere because God is a great general. And believe me that when these revivals break out, it's not going to be in one place. It's going to be worldwide. And you're going to see it on the news. They may not report it accurately, but you cannot deny when people are starting to be raised from the dead and healed and all the things that Jesus did, because only God can do those things. They won't relate it to one group of people or one denomination or this or that. It's going to be a worldwide move of God. But it's going to come upon those that are longing for His return. It doesn't mean that others aren't going to get saved. There are going to be many people get saved as one that passed through the fire. But we love Him. And if you love Him and you understand that you have a ministry and you have a call on this earth, and some of you may not have recognized yet, there's some of you maybe that are even seeking for it, but God will reveal it to you if you ask Him. He will show you, and your giftings will begin to rise up within you, and you'll start to move in those giftings because those giftings are for other people. You are gifted to give them out. And some of you have held them in. Why? Why? Take every opportunity, any door that opens to you, take it. It doesn't matter how small it is. And it doesn't matter how big it is either. Don't be intimidated by the big doors, but certainly step through the small ones, because in those small ones, you never know what person you're going to impact. And so many Christians have bottled up their anointings. They've kept it to themselves because they're spiritually grumbled over things that have been hurt by this or that. And let me tell you something. People don't represent Jesus. Jesus represents Himself. Don't be hurt because someone has misunderstood the gospel or the message, or some church goes sideways. He never built one when He was here, did He? And yet we continue to do it. I'll tell you, you start going out there, you start your home meetings, start your Bible studies, start your evangelism, just go out there, whatever it is God's telling you to do, do it. He'll bless you. I had no idea there would be more than 10 people would ever come here. I didn't care. I mean, I'm glad it's more than 10. Don't get misunderstand me. But don't misunderstand me. I got 161 names, and I want to know where they were tonight.
Amen.
I mean, I'm a coach. They didn't show up for practice. And when they do, they're going to be running some laps. They may be running some laps right now. Because this is a significant gathering tonight. You're not going to be the same. I'm not. I already know I'm not. I got changed before I got here. In a very weird way, but it happened. Now, 2 Peter, let's read on here. It says, looking for and hastening the coming of God, because which heavens will be destroyed by the burning elements and will melt with intense heat. But according to His promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless, and blameless. You know, one point, you know, Alexander the Great, when he died, he instructed his soldiers to lay his body out and have his hands facing up. And all the soldiers were to go and pass by his body, symbolizing he could take nothing with him. And there's nothing in this world that we can take with us. And the only thing that's going to carry out through eternity in your life and my life is those that we've loved. What love did we show?
Is there someone that needs to be loved? Is there someone that you need to let go of? Is there anybody that has injured you and hurt you and now you're tormented in your life because of what they did? Can you find the power in the Holy Spirit to let go of that? There are three things here that verse 14 points out. Therefore, beloved, since we look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless, and blameless. In peace. Peace. No ruptured relationships. Romans 12, 18 says, if possible, so far as it is, depends on you, be at peace with all men. No ruptured relationships. Is there anybody that you can think of that you need to restore a relationship with? Personal holiness. It's a big step. Sometimes I've gone to people and I've said, I'm sorry, they didn't receive it, but it was okay because I did it anyway. I did my end. Sometimes it just takes a letter. Maybe it's a phone call. Don't allow this to stain your life. It's not worth it. And it's clogging your spirit. And when you can get rid of that and you can be at peace about that, that's what the Lord is talking about here, to be at peace. Spotless refers to the garment of righteousness. And sin is a spot. And we're Christians, but you know what? We sin at times. And we have to have that process of dealing with that sin. And so many people walk around with a guilt complex and they don't know how to get rid of it. Well, I'm telling you how to get rid of it right now. You confess it. You repent, first of all, and recognize it, realize it, and agree with the Holy Spirit. Hey, I repent. I want to change. And then you confess it. And what that does is it enables the cleansing process to come upon you and me and cleanse our garment with the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away all of our sin. It might be a daily thing. You might have to get up in the morning. And the psalmist says, forgive me, Lord, from sins I don't even know I'm committing, you know? I mean, it's okay. It's okay. You need a Savior, and so do I. We all need the Savior. That's what the whole point is. We can never earn it. We can never earn it. We can never earn it. And yet so many people think, well, I've been a good person. I'll make heaven. That's not going to make it. That's not going to cut it. It's by receiving the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He died for your sins that you might be saved and live for eternity. I mean, think about that. Never dying and having a body that never dies. I mean, it's an awesome thing, so cleanse yourself. Blameless. It's the third thing that Peter talks about here. Nothing that we ought to have done that could have been done that we left undone. Be faithful to your duty. Just be faithful. There's some things, as I said that are undone, that are around you, that you might have to take care of. That's the cool thing about the Holy Spirit, because you know when you're sitting, and I know it's like I'm sitting there and these people are ministering some phenomenal ministries in the past few weeks, and I'm just sitting there and I'm receiving from it, and it gave me, okay, I can't wait tomorrow when I get up to take care of that. I can't wait till tomorrow to go do this. The Holy Spirit always drops something in us that gives us something to do. He always gives us the solutions. He always is for us. And he can burn it into us in a way that we don't even forget it. We don't need to take notes. It's like a heart note. And those are the best kind. It's like that dream that you had that left such an impression on you that you can describe it years on down the road. Holy Spirit imprint is one of the best things that there is. Is there anything that is undone that needs to be done? Last scripture, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and has not appeared as yet what we will be. But we know when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who longs for him, everyone who loves him, everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. This is where holiness does a work inside of you, inside of me. You are not the same as you were 5 years ago. You are not the same as you were 30 years ago. Some of you weren't even here yet. But my point is that hope is fixed on him, brings a purity in yourself. Because when you long for him and you love him and you want him to appear, even in your relationship and when you talk with him, it's like you, it's like Moses, I want to see your face. I want to see you. It becomes so much part of you that you, it cannot be denied. It's not something that's faked. It's not something you just sit there and say, I want to see you, Lord. It is something that is real. It's something that your heart reaches out and touches him. It's an expression from the midst of you when you try to tell him, you know, how much thankful you are for him and so forth. And you don't even have words in your mouth. And you realize that, you know, even when you're praying, you're not informing him. And he even knows what you're going to say before it even comes out of you. But he desires that. So longing for him, the second coming of Jesus Christ, this is the initial process. This is the beginning point for you and for me, to start to long for him, to meditate on that, to have your hope fixed on it. It will revolutionize your ministries. It will change you from the inside in ways that you could not imagine. You will look back and say, oh man, I feel so much better. I'm clear now where everything was fuzzy. I'm clear now. I've been able to put down the alcohol. I've been put down the drugs. I've been able to put down the things that I've desired for years and haven't been able to do, and I've lived in hiding. I want to tell you something, saints. You can never hide from him, and you know that, and he loves you, and he cares for you, and he will deliver you. Just have your hope fixed on him. And just repent, man. Repentance is a way of life. It's a wonderful thing to get into the intimacy of God. And you have a repentant heart. And you get down before God and said, I'm cleansed and I am forgiven. You guard that heart in Christ Jesus. It's the most thrilling life there is with all of its problems. He wants to change us, saints. He is preparing us for the most mighty move of God that there ever has been since the beginning of man. And we're going to see a victorious God. And we're going to see him when we see him coming through those clouds. And as soon as we see them, they were changed in the twinkling of an eye. I mean, in a batting of an eye. That's how fast we're going to receive. And it's going to happen. And there's nothing, no world, no words, no anything can stop him from coming. And we know this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. Praise Jesus. God's doing such a work in you, sister. His hand, he says, my hand is not too short. I can deliver. And those that you have before him, those that you prayed about and gone on your knees, God says, I will do a work in them even this year. And you will be amazed for your intercession. And your, when you go to pray, it's the anointing is going to fall on you, sister. I mean, you're going to be on the ground. And you're going to recognize that the visitation of God has come on you in a new way with a new understanding. You've known the presence of God. You've moved in the presence of God. You've had knowledge is given to you at many times, but it's going to increase. This word's gone so deep down into your spirit, you witness it, and you've been experiencing it, but God is taking you to a new level of holiness. And even those that are around you have not yet understood this and not yet received it. In fact, even in repelling it, God will cause you to be such light that they even will pierce the darkness that have blinded their minds. When God says, I've called you to open blind spiritual eyes, you lay your hands on them and they're going to see because they couldn't see before. And I see one that's near you that is very, very troubled. It's almost like there's a vice grip on their mind right now.
And God is going to give you the sword and put it in your hand to bring deliverance into their life. If you'll get before him and if you'll cry out from your heart as one that is knocking on the door over and over and over again, and he has heard your prayer the very first time, but knock 15 more times. Do not deny it. Do not deny your bread. Amen. You have get it. You will get it and you will take it and you will see the deliverance of your God because he loves you so much.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. Hallelujah. You know, I see my sister back there, and yeah, I want to give you a word of encouragement. I sit and I look, and I see like a enemy's trying to make you feel guilty. It's like there's a condemnation thing, you know what I mean? And it comes not just from you. It's from the unknown. It's from the unseen. But people that are around you will sometimes throw anger at you. I see anger being thrown at you. And just people who don't want to encourage, don't want to build up, but want to tear down. And God's going to set you free from those conversations. Amen? I think God's going to put great friends into your life, people that are love you and care about you in such a way that when they speak to you, they want to bring encouragement into your life. You're the encourager. You're the one that strengthens all these people around. But you know what? You need it. And I believe God's going to send angels to your life. Amen. They're going to come in the form of friends, but they're going to come in ways that you didn't even know who they are. They're going to come in strangers, and you're going to not realize that God has visited you in an angelic way. Amen. Because God cares about you. You have a ministry of reconciliation. Reconcile people to God time and time again. Those that are running astray here and there, difficult problems, habits, you name it. God has sent you into their life to bring about a deliverance. Because God says, I am putting a word of strength inside of your mouth. Just as he is strengthening you today, just as you walk out of here stronger than you walked in, because God has made you a warrior. You're a warrior and there's a war cry within you. And you've even said, I have had enough. And God says, I've had enough too. And I'm going to give you my power and my authority. And it's going to manifest through you. And you're going to see the enemy run because he's going to scatter. Because when you start to come, you're going to come in the name of Jesus Christ. You're not going to come with your clever arguments. You're not going to come with your knowledge. You're not going to come with your understanding. You're going to come with the word of God. And when you release the word of God, the enemy will scatter because the light will come on them. And darkness cannot hide. It cannot stay there. It will flee time and time again. God says, I am going to do a work in your family. You will see restoration. You will see those who come back to me, says the Spirit of God. I have called them. They're ones that are called that have not yet answered that call. They've run from the Lord. But God says, I will call them back and I will bring them into the fold. And they will know my name and they will know my love and they will know my call and my identity because they will do the very thing that I sent them in the earth to do. Because of your prayers, because of your words, because of your very thoughts before me, says the Lord, the very thoughts were came forth in prayer. Even though you weren't talking to me, I heard you. I heard your heart because your concern was love and care. And I move with compassion. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen.
God is so good.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet.
I got something I want to say too, but you'll say
hold,
it
hold, 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 hold. Yeah. Let's stand to our feet. Praise you, Jesus. God is so good. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness in this place. We recognize and we identify there's an outpouring that's occurring right now, Lord. We will not interrupt. We will not stop what you are doing in our midst right now, God. We receive, Lord, from you in each and every vessel that needs a touch from you in this place right now, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are raining on us. You know our individual needs. You know our individual hearts. But, Lord, you know our individual cries, that we cry out for that holiness, Lord. You've created holiness. You are holiness, and you are in our midst. We ask you to fill us up to overflowing, that we would long for you, that we would love you, that we would wake up in the morning with your heart so much burning within us, Lord, that it consumes our life and consumes our problems and consumes the enemy that would try to hurt and steal and can destroy not just our own lives, Lord God, but those that are around us. I thank you, Lord,
that you are a warrior. I thank you that you're in our midst tonight, and we receive of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, brother.